Welcome to the Round 19 Supercoach Coach Podcast. It's Mark and I again this week, and we're not as happy as we were last week, Mark, but we're fronting up for the podcast anyway.
Not as happy at all, mate, and I'm even less happy than you now, falling 200 points behind you. Dropped down to 197th after peaking at 109th 2 weeks ago. Not happy at all, mate. Had a very tough week. I guess Nichols' knee injury was a bit of a downer. 36 on my field, but I'm guessing a fair few people had him as well. Ibbotson, Staker, missed a couple of the big guys, didn't have Selwood. Ryder, just was a tough week all around for me, mate, and definitely thought it would get better after last week, but it just didn't happen.
I slid down too, Mark, but with Hanley, Dangerfield, Nick Nat, and Bartel all missing, it was going to be really hard to really do anything. I had Sam Rowe and Tom Nichols on field. So all things considering, 23.04, beating you, Mark, ain't too bad. And the key decision behind that, I'm so pumped, get to brag. Dane Swan over Scott Pendlebury, 67 points, got me the victory over you over the week on the weekend, Mark.
Yeah, that pretty much did make the difference. I would have beaten you if I'd gone the other way. I still don't regret my decision. Ablett 116, had to take Pendles, punt on Pendles after that. Obviously, should have maybe gone Swan, but I mean, he's been so up and down. And yeah, Pendles has just burnt me 4 weeks in a row now. I missed him the first 2 weeks when he dominated and jumped on too late, and he's now burnt me 2 weeks in a row. So not happy with Pendles, even though I've been a massive fan of him all year.
It's okay, Mark. You didn't quite have the big balls for Swan like I did.
Yeah. I did make two trades last week.
Yeah.
Nick Nat to Henderson, 110 points first week.
Very nice, Mark. And
that one. And I was going to do Goods to Cannon McKenzie, but you managed to convince me to take Enright instead. Maybe you were trying to sabotage my team or something. But they ended up with exactly the same score, so no difference first week. I'm happy with Enright, though. He started off a bit slow but got there. So both my new trade-ins scored over 100. Hopefully they can keep doing that. Did you make any trades last week?
Had to, and did the Birch trade out, kept Hanley, so we'll see how that goes. In the end, decided that the knee injury might take coming through the VFL, whereas the hand injury definitely should not lead to coming back through the NEAFL. So went Birch out and Enright in, of course, big Enright lover. And I'm up to four cats in the run home, Mark. And I know that's a big call because I've always talked about not picking too many players from the same team on the run home, especially, you know, I even look out for trying not to have too many teams in the top eight playing off against each other because that cannibalizes points. So going for four Geelong players is a big call, but we've got a killer run home. So I'm hoping we take some more points at the Fortress at Skilled.
Good luck with that, mate, because you have been against that all year. Now, let's get into some questions, from the listeners. There's not as much carnage as there was last week. I know I was dealing with five players last week. Dead Set, who we had on the show a couple of months ago now, he asks, where do I buy more trades?
Wouldn't that be a fun part of the game, though, Mark? If maybe you hoarded an extra 500,000, you could buy a trade.
Yeah, get rid of Ablett, put him on the field, and you get another trade or something.
Mm, be interesting.
Mm. I don't think you can, though, Dead Sets. Sorry, mate, if you've run out.
And I think, Mark, is about 160 people in the top 1,000 with Goodsy still in their team, so there's lots of people running out of trades.
Yeah, and I guess the good thing for me is that I've still got a few left, and the number one league in the country, the Aces League, Dead Sets is in that league, and I might have to take him down in the finals.
Yeah, we're holding strong up the top, Mark. Did we inch 20 points ahead or something this week?
Yeah, we're about 1,060 in front, I think, at the moment.
It's a tight hold for the finish.
It is, especially with, you never know who's got how many trades left, and I know you and Dead Sets are a bit light. A few other people have a few more left.
All right, next question from Stephen Bain. If focusing on leagues, Mark, is it worth trading out Nick Nat with your last trade if Staker can cover due to the uncertainty of him not coming back? And I think there's rumours that he might not even play for the rest of the season. Or should we just move him on regardless, even though it's my last trade?
This is a really interesting question, and I think it's something that you, yourself, Mark, and a few others are going to encounter. And with 5 weeks left, there's too much of a risk that you pick up a different injury from someone that's out for the year in a position where you don't have any cover. And if that happened, you'd end up with 4 to 5 donuts. So I think at this stage that I would be saving that last trade until I was facing a donut, even whether that's Nick Nat or someone else that is causing the donut. And then I'd probably only trade if the donut was going to be for more than 1 week.
I agree with you there, Mark. At this point of the season, I'm going to start riding donuts home unless it's...
Give me a chance.
Yeah, for more than 2 weeks. But 2 weeks ago, you were getting quite excited and I've pulled 100 points ahead with less trades. Like I told you, it can happen, so...
Bring on the donut.
I think I'm in a bit of trouble with 5 more rounds to go, though. But we'll see how far I can ride my luck. All right, another question here from Jacob Stewart, Mark. What should I do with Andrew Swallow? He's out for the season with an Achilles. He has 4 trades left. He also has Mitchell on the bench, though, who's been just killing it. Premium scores every week.
That's probably a little bit more of a tricky situation. Sad news about Swallow. He sort of probably hasn't produced this year ever since the early rounds as much as his owners would have hoped. But to be out for a year, that's really bad news for North. Like, they look, to me, they looked prime for next year, and they're really going to miss him. But maybe that might mean the rise of Cunnington or someone next year. With 4 trades left, I think I'd probably be looking at trading. I know Swallow's probably dropped a fair bit in value, but if you've got enough money to get a premium in, I think I'd just bring one in with 4 trades left.
Absolutely, Mark. It's way too much cash to be sitting on the pine, and the midfield's the place where you want to be hitting the big points every week. So if you can, 4 trades is a nice effort. I'm very jealous, so... Enjoy the trading.
2 weeks ago, I decided to put Danger on the bench, as you did as well, Marcus, which means Mitchell's come onto the field. I could have easily traded Danger to Selwood. And so even though Mitchell's still been scoring really well, it's cost me 100 points by not going to Selwood in a way.
Lucky for you, Danger's going to come back and smash out some big ones, hopefully.
That could be a huge difference on the run home.
He's a big POD for us, so we need him back for us this week, Mark, don't we?
All the talk is that he will be back this week.
They need him for the showdown, and Sloan's out too, so you got to think that they're definitely going to try and bring him back. So anyway, Andrew Gordon's asking, Cruiser, Goldstein or Minson?
This is a really interesting question, and I'm not sure that I can split them. I think I'd probably maybe just discount Goldstein a little bit because he seems tired and has the tougher draw, but then, I mean, he's just crushing it at the moment. Massive regrets that I didn't start him. Minson killing it, and Cruiser, we've both got him. I don't want to recommend Cruiser because I don't want to jinx him. Other than that, he's been absolutely crushing it. I think I'd have them Minson first, then Goldstein, then Cruiser.
Mark, I think at the start of the season, put my neck out for the Cruise tonight.
You did indeed.
And I'm super happy with him. Got injured. That wasn't that great. But since coming into our teams, Mark, he's been absolutely fantastic. He's flying right now. And all the talk in about rounds 14 after the Sydney game, people weren't too happy with his performances. And I remember they had to, on the afl.com.au, they had to get the old Blues legends to come out and rally around him and say they still think he's going to be a great player. We've been watching him closely, Mark, and he's been giving his all this whole time. So,
yeah, I didn't understand that commentary at the time and people saying, oh, geez, really responded to the media criticism, but I thought he was playing all right before then.
Yeah, bit up themselves over there. AFL Media House with all the snafu with the Essendon saga. I'm sure you must not be too happy with them right now.
Don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, all right, moving on. Matt Volders is asking, if you have the trades, is it worth upgrading Staker or Pritis or Mitchell? Wow.
Damn, this is luxury. Yeah, I think you've got to go Staker. Look, I don't know what if you have the trades means. Like, are we talking 8 trades here, 7 trades? Like, that sounds like a few trades. I think you've got to upgrade the rookie. It seems the most likely to score lower to me.
If Pritis or Mitchell means... The way Matt asked the question, I'm assuming he has one of those on his bench and one on the field. Yep. I probably would just keep Pritis on field and then keep Mitchell on bench. That seems like a pretty good combo. But I agree with you, Mark. Staker to go. He's had, 300s in a row. Super serviceable. Loved him. But he scored 60 last week. And you think that his position is going to be a bit more up and down. I've got to ride him out for another 1 to 3 more weeks with Hanley, and I'm nervous. So if I had the trades, I would move, definitely.
No coincidence that he scored lower with Jonathan Brown back in the team and him playing a slightly different role.
Now, Danny Forster's got a question mark. Dixon, Henderson, Hartlett, Hibbard, or Keep Staker for D6? So similar sort of question.
Out of those 4, geez, I'm going to back in. I know you like Hibbard. I'm going to back Henderson there. I picked him up myself this week or last week and copped the De Boer tag and still scored 110.
Yeah, that honestly, that has me a bit scratching my head. He did cop the tag and still managed a really good score, but I have backed Hibbard for a while now, and he's still playing consistently well. So I'm going to go Hibbard for the rest of the season. But Dixon, Mark, I know you were championing him a bit earlier on in the season before he went down with injury. And
oof, how frustrating.
You reckon he might be a sneaky little POD for the run home or not?
Yeah, especially depends on Nichols, I guess. I mean, if Nichols is out for the rest of the year and Dixon can stay fit, which, look, they gave him that extra time to get fit, you'd think that he is actually fit this time. If he's playing that ruck forward role, he's going to score you pretty well, I think, especially for a defender.
All right, Mark, a question for the finals from Rodney. Is Pav a value for money wildcard option? Wow, that's being a bit risky, a key position forward wildcard for the finals, but he has the potential to go big. Mark and Fremantle do have a nice draw.
Indeed they do, and I think that he's probably relying on the fact that with sort of Nick Nack going down, people are looking for these sort of out there cheaper suggestions like the Riolis and Pavs, and looking for someone in that similar situation that can get them home and score big. I think Pav's going to be pretty reliant on his goals to get those points for the rest of the year, so I'd be a bit reluctant.
First two games of the finals, Mark, he plays GWS in Melbourne. Prelim final, he plays Port Adelaide. And in the grand final, he plays St Kilda, which is great because their back line is pretty shot nowadays. So
it is.
GWS, Melbourne, and Saints in pretty nice games sounds pretty good. And his price tag's pretty nice too. So can understand the temptation. I think probably only an option for Nick Nat if you're trading out someone and you had a little bit more money. You probably wouldn't take that risk though, would you, Mark?
Look, I mean, he's got the premium scoring record, so yeah, when you describe his draw like that and going through the finals, there's probably worse options out there. He just seems really risky given how little football he's played this year.
I mean, I hate to say this, but did Brent Harvey score 137 on the weekend again?
And did I tell people to pick him up last week?
You did.
I'm pretty sure I was on Brent Harvey train last week. With Swallow going down now, slight chance that Harvey gets a little bit more attention going forward.
Yeah, so, I mean, go for the rolled gold option like Harvey, Johnson, Roughhead. I mean, Roughhead's dropped a fair amount in price. He's at 500K now, or you'd still look after. I mean, Pav is a lot cheaper.
Did you say you brought Ruffy in a few weeks ago? Yeah.
69.84, not happy, Mark, but at least you got Ryder, so things aren't too bad in comparison.
That's right. Thanks.
All right, I've got another question here from Mark Fleming. Seems like Carnage always hits the defense, Mark. He's thinking he'll need a solid D7 as cover because he's got good cover on all other lines. Do you think you'd stretch to trade for a D7 position? I know Staker was a D7 for me for a while, and I was loving that. So your thoughts on it?
I don't think you can specify that Carnage hits defense because it was like that earlier in the year, and then maybe it's hit it again in last week, but it was sort of fine for a little while as well. Then we had forward Carnage for 5 or 6 weeks. It's just the midfielders that we seem to be avoiding the Carnage in. So I don't like the idea of trying to predict where you think the injuries are going to happen. I'd rather just trade when the injuries came up.
I think I'm a little bit more on the fence on that one, but I think at this point in the season, nobody really has the trades, I think, to be maneuvering like that. So I'm probably going to side on with Mark too. Vic Blazek is asking, Miranda Kerr or Jen Hawkins, Mark?
I'm not sure how that question got in there, buddy, but Jen Hawkins for me.
Yeah, you're compiling the list, right? So there's not too much to talk about in the Supercoach world this week. Matthew Donnelly, he's got one last trade. When should he use it? What situation should he use it in? Mark, I need to know the answer to this too.
I reckon, Marcus, my advice to you is just use it this week. Whoever, you know, Hanley, whatever. For Matt, who asked the question, I would say just wait until you're facing donuts, multiple donuts. Yeah. If you're facing a single donut this week and that player's back next week or probably back or even likely back, I would just cop that donut. Unless like you're out of the eight or something like that in your league and you're really just desperate to try and get in there, yeah, I think that you need to be saving that trade.
Agreed, Mark. Unless you're in a league situation, like Mark said, I definitely would hold even if you're facing donuts, because what I'm assuming is at one point in 3 rounds time, I'll be facing something like 4 donuts, and I'll appreciate the trade a lot more than I will now facing 1 donut. Pretty sure things are about to get quite real.
So who is worth more in Supercoach, Miranda Kerr or Jen Hawkins?
I'm going to take Kerr. She's got good ambassador value, you know?
Might get a few extra points for that, you reckon?
Yeah, a few extra points.
Amber, Tomcat, doing quite well this year. Been having quite a high ranking all year. I think she's top 10 in our group league. She asks, how important do you think Beams is? Is he worth that price and using a precious trade? I know my wife is thinking of bringing Dame Beams into her side potentially this week, so she'll be very interested to hear your thoughts on this, Marcus.
What if you already have Pendlebury Swan? Is that a worry?
I don't think so. Like, you have to factor that in anyway, don't you?
Except that, I mean, when we're talking Collingwood last year, they're flying. This year, they're not. And they've got Essendon, Sydney, Hawthorn, West Coast coming up. I think if you have Swan, Pendlebury, I probably wouldn't bring Beamsy in. If I only had one of them, then sure, I think he's a decent risk to take. But I probably would only do it again if I had the cash. If it's a double trade. But if you have some balls, Mark, I think go for it.
Some people still have trades left, Marcus, or cash. Look, think that he seems like an awful lot of money to play for someone, but then for someone that hasn't had a proper preseason, I know that they sort of dragged him out and gave him that extra preseason in training to get him right for the finals. It just seems a little bit suspect that, I mean, after three games, we thought Nick Nat was going to be a great scorer, and he's sort of tailed off because he didn't have the preseason. So that definitely worries me a bit, but I mean, he showed last year he's a super elite Supercoach scorer. He, in the first 3 weeks that he's played, he's had two 130 pluses. You can't ask for much more than that based on the evidence that we've seen. But as you suggest, that might be a bit of an impediment to him smashing out those big scores. Well, I mean, we just saw him last year, though. He can just dominate even good teams. So I wouldn't definitely not be writing Beams off.
I did that to Harvey last week, and you warned me of that at my own peril. We know these guys can do those things, Mark. It's just I don't quite like the risk attached to it, but I can definitely see people taking the risk. And like I said, if you've got a big pair, and I think it takes that, Mark, because you're bringing in a player who's coming off a limited preseason.
Got a big pair.
And last question here from Brendan Gregory. How many trades do you two have left? And who would you rather get out of Dame Beams and Dane Swan at the moment?
Well, I have three trades left. Oh, and that's a tough one. I reckon Swanee's been really up and down. I reckon I'd probably punt on Beams out of the two.
Going to go Swanee, Mark. I think I've been on him for a while, and he just rewarded me with a captaincy score.
From the weekend, mate. You're just in Swanee love after the weekend.
Yeah.
He does have a very good record against the Bombers there.
You know, I made the girly noise again this weekend when I hit that match center button, and then I wandered my finger over to FB Donkey SCC and then hit that click. Pendlebury captain. Ah, yes! I love you, Dane Swan. Dane Swan for sure. Lock him in as your captain this week too, Mark, I reckon.
Really?
Is that taking it too far? No, you got the Bombers this week. How do you reckon he'll go against you? The
Bombers is amazing. His record this year, he's only sort of scored really, really well in wins. And hopefully they don't have a win this week. But like, if you look at, go back over his scores from the last few years, he has just destroyed the Bombers. A bit like Mark Murphy has. It just has a great record against us.
But you're giving the vice captaincy to Ablett again this weekend?
Yep, and then I'll probably flick it back to Swan, which will be the wrong choice because Pendlebury will score 190 because I'm not on him. I'm in a bit of a funk with my captaincy choices at the moment, mate.
Fifth time in a row he'll burn you, you reckon?
Yeah, well, sure. Why not?
All right, and with that, we'll call it quits. Hopefully things look a bit more up for us next week, Mark.
Yes, I'm going to be more lively next week, guaranteed, because I will be catching you.
200 points, and I think the more you talk yourself up, the more you're sliding down. So I think the Supercoach gods will take care of things for me, and we'll catch you guys next week with some good news for me.
See ya. See ya.